Tucker Stadium in Detroit, Michigan. This is Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax, and welcome to the 42nd All-Star Baseball Game. The National League has won the last 8 in a row, 12 of the last 13, not counting a tie back in 1961. And after one time trailing 12-4 after the 1949 game, now the National Leaguers find themselves with a 23-17 bulge over the American League. And the American Leaguers, who will start young Vida Blue tonight, will try to break that skein at 8. The 42nd annual All-Star Game brought to you by Phillips 66. At Phillips 66, it's performance that counts. Gillette Platinum Plus, the razor blades with the platinum smooth edges for smoother shaves. Chrysler Corporation, extra care in engineering. Your host tonight, your local Dodge dealer. The Retail Clerks International Association, dedicated exclusively to the interest of store workers and by the makers of STP Oil Treatment, STP Gas Treatment, and STP Keep Cool Radiator Treatment. Tiger Stadium, Detroit, Michigan, shortly after 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The temperature is 86 degrees. The wind will be a factor here tonight. At least we think so. It is at 23 miles out of the west, gusting to 33 miles. And Tiger Stadium, Detroit, is a hitter's ballpark, and it is blowing right toward right field, and it's only 325 down that right field line, with the upper deck projecting 15 feet closer to the infield. Tiger Stadium right now, the sun's still shining in parts of right field and down the right field line. The lights have been on for more than an hour. They're spraying the infield and lining the infield and the outfield. Soldiers and sailors and Air Force and Marines, all carrying American flags. The color guard out in center field, and the outfield tonight, for the first time in our memory of All-Star play, has stars in left, center, and right. They are red, white, and blue, awaiting the introduction of the 42nd All-Star squad of the National and American Leagues, and of course the playing and singing of our national anthem. Well, I said that Sandy Koufax is with me, and Sandy, as a National Leaguer, 8 in a row, 12 of the last 13, 23-17, the National Leaguers lead, and with a lineup that starts off with Woody Mays, second only to Babe Ruth in hitting home runs, followed by Hank Aaron, third only to Babe Ruth hitting home runs, and followed by Torrey, Stargell, McCovey, and Bench. Where does it all end for the American League?
Jim, it's hard to say why the National League has had this dominance in the last few years. I do know, having been a member at one time of the National League squad, there's a great pride in the All-Star game. The players take pride in it. For many years, the American League led the National League in All-Star victories, and the players in the National League felt like they wanted to do something about it. I'm sure now that the National League has won 8 in a row, I would have to think that the American League is out to end that sort of thing. I think each league always feels that their league is the best one, and it's awfully important to the players, and I think this year will be no different. As you said, the National League has that great power in the lineup, but when you come down to a single game or a short series, I think pitching pretty much can dominate and alter the course of the ball game. And as you said, this is a left-hand hitter's ballpark. The American League in this game has 4 left-hand pitchers on their pitching staff. The National League only has 1. And that could be a big factor in the series, the fact that a young man by the name of Vida Blue is starting for the American League could be a big factor also. I think he's this summer become the most exciting name in baseball, and I think it'll be great for the public and for the National League to get to take a look at this fine left-handed pitcher.
Well, down the left field line right now where the American League bullpen is, Vida Blue is warming up. And, of course, he has that Kelly green and white uniform of Charlie Finley's Oakland Athletics. And Vida Blue leads the American League and all of the major leagues in pitching with 17 victories thus far. He also leads in earned run average 1.42 and is a switch hitter. I bring that up because Doc Ellis, the right-hander for the National League from the Pittsburgh Pirates, leads the National League in victories with 14, leads the National League in earned run average with 2.10, and like Vida Blue, is a switch hitter. In a moment, we're going to hear a conversation between Sandy and both Vida Blue and Doc Ellis, tonight's starting pitchers. I'd like to remind you that tonight's game is being beamed by radio to Mexico, Aruba, Puerto Rico, Guatemala, the Virgin Islands, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Colombia, Canada, El Salvador, the Dominican Republic, Curacao, Panama, Venezuela, and the Honduras. And our friends at the American Forces Radio Network are broadcasting this game around the world on some 400 stations. And, of course, here in the United States, the NBC Radio Network of 234 stations is carrying the game, plus 100 non-affiliated stations. And we greet the many millions who are listening here and abroad, and I'm sure as they begin to introduce the National League All-Stars now, you are going to have quite an evening. And that is quite an ovation they gave Willie Mays. But the subject that Sandy Koufax brought up is pitching. And as we said, he talked to Vida Blue before the game. Vida Blue, not yet 22 years old, 17 victories, the American League starting pitcher tonight, and here is that conversation.
1, 2, 3, 4, testing. One. Vida, it's been a great half year for you so far. Now tonight you're going to start your first All-Star game. Is there any difference between the All-Star game going into it and the rest of the season so far?
Well, yeah, Sandy, you're facing a whole different lineup, and there are nine guys that are capable of hitting the ball out of the ballpark for a long ways, and you just have to go out with it in mind that you've got to respect these guys and just try to make them hit your pitches and hope that they keep it inside the ballpark or hope that they hit the ball at someone.
You starting this game, you know you can only go three innings. That's the most. Do you think that there's a possibility you might go with the fastball even a little bit more than you would in a normal ball game, knowing you don't have to finish it?
Yeah, that's true, Sandy. Knowing that I am going only three innings, I can't go out and maybe try to pump up, as we say, sometime. And I may just throw maybe even 100% fastball. You never know. It all depends on the batters themselves. If they're timing my fastball, I may go to my changeup, or I may go to my curveball. Like I said, it all depends on the type of pitching that I'm doing. I just might make them hit my breaking pitch.
Earlier this season, I saw you pitch in Minneapolis and against the Twins. The first time I had ever seen you, and what really amazed me was your control. Is this something that happened all of a sudden, or have you always had good control?
Well, our pitching coach, I think I would have to contribute this to him, Sandy. Bill Poza, he's done a magnificent job with me, and he knows me better than anyone else in baseball, so he works with me every chance to get it. I think it's really paid off. My control has been just super amazing almost.
Vida, good luck to you tonight, and we look forward to seeing you the rest of the season in the divisional playoffs, maybe even a World Series, and in an All-Star game next year.
Okay, Sam, that sounds good. Thank you.
You've been listening in on a conversation between the greatest left-hander of them all, Sandy Koufax, and a promising young left-hander, tonight's starting pitcher, 21-year-old Vida Blue. Well, Doc Ellis of the Pittsburgh Pirates, a 14-game winner, continues to warm up out of the National League bullpen, and Doc did not expect to start tonight's ball game. As a matter of fact, Sparky Anderson, the coach, or I should say the manager of Cincinnati, called Danny Murtaugh, the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and was told that Doc Ellis probably would pitch Saturday and perhaps Sunday, whereupon Sparky said, well, if that's the case, he will not be able to start on Tuesday night. But as that Eastern Division in the National League opened up and the Pirates took a pretty good lead, they now lead by 10 big games over the New York Mets, Ellis was able to be rested over the weekend, and thus Sparky changed his mind, and Doc Ellis is the starting pitcher tonight. The boos you hear are for Earl Weaver of the Baltimore Orioles. The reason being, and Weaver is laughing about it, when it's proved out, the Baltimore Orioles, the big first baseman, was not selected in his initial selection of other players. Weaver did not pick Detroit's favorite first baseman, Norm Cash. Cash is now on the squad. And that's why Earl Weaver got the boos. But the subject, as we said, is pitching. And Doc Ellis is starting tonight, and Sandy Koufax taught with the Pittsburgh Pirates right-hander.
Doc, I know this is your first All-Star game. What do you think as you're coming out here now, going to start the All-Star game?
Well, it's a thrill to be here. And as far as starting, it was an honor to be picked as a starting pitcher. I mean, you should know how it feels, and I can't say anything. All I can say is that I want to get out there and pitch.
What about the hitters? Do you normally during the year go over the hitters? Do you worry about knowing the hitters? Is this a little bit difficult for you tonight, or are you just going to go out there trying to hit good spots with your best stuff?
That's what I'm going to do, Sandy. I'm going to try to throw my best stuff on two spots. And as you know, I've never seen any of the hitters, but if they were in my league, I would have a book on them. But I'm going from scratch today.
Well, you haven't pitched one in 6 days, I believe. You think this is an advantage, or does too much rest sometimes hurt you?
Well, as you know yourself, that sometimes a lot of reps can hurt you, and sometimes you can come back and throw real good with it. But I don't know. That's yet to be seen.
Well, Doc, all I can say is good luck, and I know it's your first one, and I'm sure it won't be the last one. Good luck to you for many years.
I need a whole lot of luck. Thank you, Doc.
The introductions of the American League All-Stars continue, and Doc Ellis continues to warm up, and the bullpen along the right field line by the blue continues to throw down the left field line. Most of the American Leaguers have now been introduced, and now here come the rest of the American League squad out to the third base line. The National League waiting patiently along the first base line, and as we said, ringing the infield and the outfield. Servicemen and women from all forces waiting now for the playing and singing of our national anthem. Norm Cash, whom Earl Weaver neglected to pick, as we were telling you before the Doc Ellis interview, got a standing ovation from the more than 52,000 here at Tiger Stadium in Detroit. This is the third All-Star game to be played in Detroit. Back in 1941, everybody remembers the ninth inning home run hit by young Ted Williams off Claude Classeau that won the game for the American League 7-5. And in 1951, 10 years later, the National League won that game by a score of 8-3. They're now introducing Cookie Rojas and Amos Otis of the Kansas City Royals, Marty Patton of the Brewers. As we said, this is the 42nd annual All-Star Game. The National League leads 23-17, and the big story tonight is that the American League, without catcher Ray Fosse, without first baseman Boo Powell, and without the league's leading hitter, right fielder Tony Oliva, all of whom have had to beg off because of injury, the American League is going to try to break that eight-game losing streak. In a moment, we'll have the national anthem, and Charlie Gehringer will toss out the first baseball. And as usual for all important baseball games, there are not four, but rather six umpires who are now walking out below us. Behind the plate from the American League will be Frank Umont, the veteran all-star umpire of the staff. It's his fourth. At first base from the National League, Paul Pryor. Jake O'Donnell of the American League will be at second base. At third base, Doug Harvey from the National League. Down the left field line, Nick Colosi of the National League. And down the right field line, Don Denkinger of the American League. And we have just seen that one of the Marines, who was standing at attention and holding a flag, apparently has suffered a case of nervousness or heat prostration, has been led away. But now we stand for the playing and singing by Robert Taylor of our national anthem. Side here at Tiger Stadium in Detroit, and we cannot help recall the last time we were in Detroit for a game of importance such as this, the 1968 World Series, in which the Tigers, down 3-1, came back on the strong left arm of Mickey Lolich to win the series 4-3, and the word is that Lolich will pitch the final two innings of tonight's ballgame. White and blue expected to start and will start for the American League. Doc Ellis for the National League. And we'll return to action and pregame comments in a moment. The Retail Clerks International Association has in its ranks many thousands of teenage store workers who, through their union, enjoy good working conditions. They know that to attain sound objectives, both for themselves and their country, they need clear heads and healthy bodies. The Retail Clerks Union urges the youth of America to avoid harmful drug habits and to register vote so that they can make vital contributions to next year's election. This message from the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20006.
So you got yourself an antiperspirant, and you're still getting wet. So enough already. Get tough.
If you're still getting wet, why not start getting tough? Provide God and the perspirant for dry and stuff.
You just can't get a more effective anti-wetness agent in any other aerosol. Right, Guard?
If you're still getting wet,
Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax, Charlie Garinger. A Hall of Famer from Detroit has just tossed out the first ball to Bill Freehand. The Detroit catcher, as Earl Weaver of Baltimore and Sparky Anderson of Cincinnati are meeting with the umpire.
Fourth for Phoenix, Arizona, and a 12-year-old champion, Wallace McGusty of Jackson, Alabama.
The umpires, as we said, Frank Umon of the American League behind the plate, Paul Fry of the National League at first, Jake O'Donnell of the American League at second, Doug Harvey of the National League at third, Nick Colosi of the National League in left, and Don Denkinger of the American League in right. And the American League All-Stars have taken the field. Norm Cash of Detroit at first base. Rod Carew of Minnesota at second. Luis Aparicio of the Boston Red Sox at shortstop. Brooks Robinson at third base from Baltimore. Carl Yastrzemski of the Red Sox in left. Bobby Mercer of the Yankees in center. Frank Robinson of the Orioles in right. Bill Freehand of Detroit behind the plate. And Vida Blue of the Oakland A's. Now taking his warm-up pitches. The National League starting lineup in a moment, but first we pause 10 seconds for station identification.
This is Steve Fitz, your contact host. Call us weeknights from 8 to midnight here on the fresh air sound of Radio 81 WGY Schenectady.
Again, with Sandy Koufax, Jim Simpson, and here is that National League starting lineup. Again, we point out this oddity. Willie Mays, with 642 lifetime home runs, second only to Babe Ruth, leads it off and plays center field. This is the seventh time that Mays has led off an All-Star game for the National League, and Hank Aaron is in right field in his 20th All-Star game, and he is third only to Babe Ruth with 616 lifetime home runs. Joe Choi, the National League's leading hitter, bats third and plays at third base. Willie Stargell, 30 home runs, 87 RBIs, a batting average of .320. His home run and RBIs lead at the major leagues. Will play left field and bat cleanup. Willie McCovey of the Giants will be at first base. Johnny Bench, some question about his left wrist, is all right and will be behind the plate batting sixth. Len Beckert of the Chicago Cubs at second base batting seventh. Bud Harrelson of the New York Mets makes his first start as an All-Star at shortstop. And Doc Ellis, who's won 14 and lost 3, will be on the mound. And as Vida Blue warms up and the umpires talk things over with Sparky Anderson and Earl Weaver, Sandy Koufax, I know you've been watching with interest the warm-ups of Vida Blue.
Jim, I love watching the fella who can throw as hard as Blue does. He's got a great fastball. We saw him earlier this year. He doesn't throw the curveball that much. I don't believe tonight he will. He has a little bit of advantage here on the hitters. They haven't seen him, and I think that's always advantage for the pitcher.
Sandy, now let's see if we can pick up Frank Umon and the managers.
Defensive home run. If it comes back, it's in play. The left field foul line is the same way. The bullpen is the same way also. Now, if it should go in where them fellas with the right shirt that are going to scrape the field in the fifth inning, we'll pull it dead.
All right.
Hit him. Now, the top, if it's in play, all right. If it goes behind, we won't call it.
Get up on there and jump, right?
That's right. You can make the catch on it. Now, also, the dugout has got to go in. If there's a glove, the same way as yours. Gentlemen, good luck to both of you.
Thank you, Frank.
Come out.
Okay, how do we get out of here? Take it back.
Those are the words of Frank Umon. Have you ever wondered what goes on at home plate? Well, that's Umon talking to Earl Weaver and Sparky Anderson. Vida Blue is ready. Bill Freehand has thrown down to Carew at second base, and Willie Mays, hitting at 290 in his 22nd All-Star game, steps up. 14 home runs on the year, 39 RBIs, the right-handed batter, as they say, a legend in his own time. He is still playing. Frank Eumann dusts off the plate. To repeat, the temperature is 86 degrees. Wind will be a factor. Out of the west at 23 miles an hour, gusting to 33, and that means it is blowing right toward that inviting upper deck in right field. Vida Blue, not yet 21. Woody Mays, who was 40 in May, facing each other in their 42nd All-Star game. Blue, the left-hander, who's won 17 and lost 3. Ready with his first pitch, comes into the fastball strike, letter high. This is, of course, an American League town, and the crowd will be roaring as long as Blue and the American Leaguers are doing well. Another fastball, ground ball to the shortstop. Aparicio has it and throws on to first base to Norm Cash. And there's one down. Blue's 17 victories is the most of the pitchers had at an All-Star break. The previous high was 16 by Bobby Feller back in 1941 and a former Detroit Tiger, Denny McLain, now of the Senators back in 1968. Well, here's Hank Aaron, and they're making an announcement right now that for the second consecutive year, Hank has received the most votes of you fans in the All-Star balloting. And at a special ceremony this afternoon, received the Gillette Award as signifying, well, his unprecedented accomplishment. Here is Aaron. 616 lifetime home runs, 314 his average, 24 home runs this year, 67 RBI. One out, top of the first. Aaron, like Mays, and Joey DeFalo, a right-handed batter. Blue disposed to Willie Mays on a ground ball, comes in with a fastball at the knees this time, and it's strike one to Aaron. And Sandy, he has thrown the ball right down the pike to both Mays and Aaron.
Jim, that looked like it was a very good pitch. It looked like it might have been on the outside corner at the knees, which is tough for anybody to hit.
Breaking pitch, one high hop to Brooks Robinson at third base, guns it on to first, and there's the second out.
Also, that first pitch to Aaron looked like a better fastball than Vida had thrown to Mays. The first two fastballs he threw to Mays didn't look like he threw as hard as we had seen him throw earlier this season, but that one to Henry Aaron was the good fastball.
Well, here is Joe Torre leading the National League, 359, 14 home runs, 65 RBIs. And those of you who have not been in the States or watched National League ball in some time, be advised that Joe weighs about 25 pounds less than the last time he saw him. Fastball gets him up around the letters again. He started out Mays, Aaron, and Torre with fastballs, all for called strikes. This is the first time the National Leaguers, of course, have faced Vida Blue. Most of them haven't even seen him in spring training. Another fastball fouled back to the screen.
We've talked about Torre in the past when we've seen him. Joe's a good fastball hitter. In this lineup for the National League, he may be the one player who will give Vida or the American League the most trouble. He doesn't try and pull the ball. He has good power to the opposite field and to right center. And with the wind blowing out in right field, he could be a problem tonight.
Two-strike count to Torre as Blue shakes off the sign from Bill Freehand. Vida ready and throws another fastball. Hit off the fist high in the short center field. In comes Bobby Mercer. Out goes Rod Carew. Carew there. Mercer there. Carew takes it with the third out. And Vida Blue has done quite a job. A run, hits to errors. He gets them in order. At the end of one half inning of play, the National League nothing, the American League coming to bat.
Hi, this is Joe Garagiola. Say, if your vacation plans include a lot of driving this year, I've got three suggestions that'll help make your trip more enjoyable. One, plan ahead. Two, allow yourself a little more traveling time than usual. And three, do it in a Dodge. Any brand new 1971 Dodge. For no matter which you choose, Monaco, Polara, Coronet, Charger, Challenger, or Dart, you'll find every Dodge offers a little more room and comfort than anything you're used to in its respective class. You get family-sized room, ride, and comfort at a modest price. Because of its new design concept, the Coronet wagon is the only one in its field that can carry a 4x8 piece of paneling flat on the floor. Translated to vacation cargo, that's a lot of room for suitcases, beach balls, and kids. So see your nearby Dodge boy. Let him show you what Dodge is all about. And on your trip, drive safely and have a happy return.
From Tiger Stadium in Detroit, this is Sandy Koufax with Jim Simpson. For the last inning, Vida Blue looked like he's looked every other time we've seen him. Unruffled, had good stuff, worked rather easily. A very fine first inning for the young left-hander. Now, for the National League, pitching will be Doc Ellis. As we talked to Doc earlier, he's had 6 days rest. Sometimes that can hurt a pitcher. Sometimes it's good. It depends on the individual. Doc has good stuff, like Vita Blue, the good fastball, and good breaking pitches, too. And he's having a fine year with his 14 wins.
Ellis will pitch first to Rod Carew, hitting a 283 in his fifth consecutive All-Star game in 5 years in the Major League. But over the last 25 games, Rod, with a four start, has come on strong, hitting at a 422 pace. Left-handed batter from the Minnesota Twins. Whitney McCovey of San Francisco at first base. Glenn Beckett of the Chicago Cubs at second. Bud Harrelson of the New York Mets at short. Joe Choi of the Cardinals at third. Willie Stargell of the Pirates at left. Willie Mays of the Giants out in center. Hank Aaron of the Braves at right. Johnny Bench of Cincinnati behind the plate. And Ellis ready to face Rod Carew with Bobby Mercer of the Yankees on deck. Scoreless last of the first inning. Right-hander throws. And it's 4-1 to the left-hander, Rod Carew. I don't believe, checking back, Sandy, that Blue threw anything but strikes. There's ball two from Ellis to Carew.
Jim, I think you're right. I don't remember any balls or two or three pitches taken. The rest were swung at, and I don't think he threw a ball in the inning.
2-0 to count to Carew. Let's see if he's swinging. He is ground ball on two hops to the second baseman, Beckert of Chicago. Tosses on to Willie McCovey, and Carew is out.
Jim, I think you can almost throw away a little bit of the rules of baseball. You don't see too many take signals given in an All-Star game. You've got hitters like you do in these in this lineup. You let them hit almost all the time. Possibly in the last inning or two, if it's a tie ball game, you might be willing to use a little bit more strategy. But this is a game for the fans, and you let the players do their job.
Bobby Mercer, the New York Yankees, left-handed batter, takes a strike at the knees from Ellis. Mercer's second in the American League in hitting to Tony Oliva. Oliva with his 374 average home with a bum knee. So Mercer, the Yankees, starting in center field tonight. 16 home runs, 50 RBIs, takes a high fastball. And it's one ball, one strike. Scoreless, we're in the last of the first inning, Tiger Stadium, Detroit. The sun has almost disappeared from the stadium. They are on standard time here in Detroit. And as we said, the lights have been on since an hour before the ball game. Got a little quiet now. Changed and pulled way foul to the right, down the right field line. Finds that portion of the right field stand still somewhat bathed in sunlight. Carter Stemsky of the Boston Red Sox kneels on deck. Looking around that National League infield, there have been no National League errors in the last eight games. And you can turn that around. The National League has not lost in the last eight games. Out of play again. Bench comes back thinking he may have a chance. This is a strange ballpark for him, but it is upstairs. Bobby Mercer, the only starter, not counting some of the pitchers, who has never played in an All-Star game. Bobby says that everybody, because he came from Oklahoma, expected him to be another Mickey Mantle. He said, I'm not this year. I'm trying to just go with the pitch instead of pulling everything, and my 341 average has given me a good start. Fastball outside and low. It is two balls, two strikes to Mercer. Mercer also says that he is always a fast starter. He cannot predict what he will do in the second half of this American League season. Gallus of the Pirates ready and throws fastball. Ground ball up the middle. He got the first base hit of the night.
Mercer, also like Mickey Mantle, signed with the Yankees as a shortstop.
Now here's Carl Yastrzemski hitting at 273, 11 home runs, 49 RBIs, and Carl has been in the news for another reason. Billy Conigliaro singled out Carl Yastrzemski the other day for the trading of his brother Tony Conigliaro to California, the trading of Ken Harrelson. Yastrzemski said to NBC the night before the game, I've tried hard my 10 years in the American League, and in my mind and in my heart, I've never caused anyone to be traded or to be fired. There's a strike to Yastrzemski on the outside corner. Carl quite upset about the stories. He said, the Red Sox should simply buckle down, play ball, and try to win that pennant. One out, Mercer at first base, Yastrzemski, the left-hander, facing Doc Ellis. And for Yastrzemski with great power, like to Mercer and Carew, I'm sure that right field porch upstairs that extends 15 feet into the playing field is mighty inviting. Fouled out of play. 325 down that right field line. 340 down the left field line here at Tiger Stadium. 440 to deep center field. But the power alleys in left, 365, in right, 370 feet. Two strikes to Yastrzemski. One out.
Mercer being held on at first by Willie McCovey. Doc Ellis working. He has won 14 and lost 3. Yastrzemski stands deep in the batter's box. Closed stance, changed on the ball. High hopper to the second baseman Becker, who has to go to first. Yastrzemski is out, but Mercer moves on down to second. And that brings up Frank Robinson, a most valuable player in the National League, a most valuable player in the American League. And in his last 21 at-bats for the Baltimore Orioles, he's been aiming at a .476 clip. This is his 10th All-Star game. He had 6 over the National League, and this is his 4th for the American League. And since 1961, Frank hasn't had a hit at All-Star play. 0-for-13, looking to drive in a run. Takes low and in the dirt, blocked nicely by Johnny Bench. Mercer with a good lead off at second base. Throughout last of the first, no score. The 42nd All-Star game and right-hander Frank Robinson with all kinds of records. Triple crown winner in 66, his first year in the American League. Ball up the middle, overcomes Allison, the slick fielder from the Mets, goes on to first base and has Robinson, and the American League goes down. No runs, one hit. No errors, and Bobby Mercer left at second base. At the end of one, the National League nothing, the American League nothing.
Take a fleet of 80 air-conditioned Fort Worth yellow cabs. Add 100 degrees of typical Texas summer heat, and you've got the kind of overheating trouble that used to knock out 7 or 8 cabs a day. But last summer, these cabs started using STP Keep Cool Radiator Treatment. The result? Not a single case of overheating or vapor lock. Try STP Keep Cool in your car this summer. It takes the heat off your engine.
The many thousands of teenagers who are members of the Retail Clerks International Association know that their overall well-being is enhanced by the good working conditions achieved by their union. They know, too, that to attain sound objectives for themselves and the country, they must work with clear heads and healthy bodies. The Retail Clerks Union, it urges the youth of America to avoid harmful drugs and to register to vote in next year's election. This message from the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., to 0006. We pause 30 seconds for station identification.
It's a gigantic store-wide summer clearance at Spectre's of Albany. Spectre's, Metroland's fashion leader for men and boys, has slashed prices on all summer clothing, summer suits, and sportswear. Spectre's has a tremendous selection, one city block deep, filled with the famous brands you know and trust. Remember, Spectre's can fit any man, any size, any budget. Get big savings now during the great summer clearance at Spectre's, 233 Central Avenue, Albany. Open every night till 9, Saturday till 6, WGY, Schenectady, New York.
Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax back at Tiger Stadium, top of the second, and what a confrontation we have now. Willie Stargell standing in, left-handed batter, 30 home runs, 87 RBIs, against Vida Blue, whose first pitch is a breaking pitch that hits Willie Stargell, and Stargell becomes the first National League base runner.
Jim, I think Stargell, if he's going to get hit by Vida Blue, is lucky to get hit by the curveball. That'll get right through you. It was interesting to see what Vida would do. Stargell doesn't really like the curveball from the left-hand pitchers that much, and Vida Blue went with the curveball there. I was wondering if he would because of the fact that he does have the good fastball tonight, but he did and didn't get it over and hit Willie.
Willie McCovey this time of the Giants, first baseman, takes a fastball up high. And that is ball one, with Stargell on at first base, no score, here in the second inning. Walter Austin, Sandy's former manager of the Dodgers, coaching at first base. Preston Gomez, who used to be a coach with the Dodgers, now managing San Diego's Padres, coaching at third. Blew back with a fastball, and did McCovey have a cut at that? Strike one.
Jim Sparky Anderson was a coach under Preston Gomez at San Diego, the first year of San Diego. I'm sure that's why Sparky has chosen Preston and played for Walt Austin for many years in the Dodger organization. I think Sparky said that the two most important men in baseball to him were Walt and Preston.
Another fastball right at the knees, and McCovey takes another big swing. One ball, two strikes. Johnny Bench on deck. Vida Blue never threw a pitch that wasn't swung out or a called strike in the first inning. He started off the second inning throwing a curve inside that hit Willie Stargell, and his next pitch was a high fastball to McCovey. But since that time, he's given him two dandy fastballs at the knees. Another fastball, he's called out on strike. First strike out for Vida Blue.
Sure, that looked like the best fastball Blue has thrown all night. He
had just a little bit of extra on that, and when McCovey squawked on it, I'm sure it was in a good spot. Sometimes it's a little difficult to tell from the announcing booth just where the pitch is.
Johnny Bench hitting at 250, and that's much below John's average, but he does have those 18 home runs, 37 RBIs. Most valuable player in the National League a year ago. An important cog in that big red machine, which has been rattling and rumbling along this year, not doing well at all, with a record of 41 wins and 51 losses. Blue is ready. Fastball hit high in the air. Bill Freehand comes back. First base side, looks up, and it falls about three rows deep in the lower deck. Strike one to Bench. Stargell hit by the pitch on it first in the scoreless game. Freehand of Detroit is starting because Ray Fosse of Cleveland is injured. And Norm Cash at first base because Boog Powell of Baltimore is injured. Mercer has made it into the outfield and has gone to center because Tony Oliva is injured. One strike to Johnny Bench with Glenn Becker to the Cubs on deck. Blue ready, throws a fastball, hit high and hit deep. Back goes Mercer looking up over 400 feet away. Home run, Johnny Bench is second in all-star play, and the National League takes the lead 2-0.
Yeah, that ball was really hit a long way to the opposite field. The numbers on the fence are 415 feet. That was in right center field in the upper deck. And I knew Bench was strong, but I didn't know he was that strong.
Johnny Bench, in his first All-Star game, played in Washington a couple of years ago, hit a home run the first time up, and then later hit a single in the second time up, continues to be a big man for the National League. Minor Blue, who in his last appearance went 11 innings and struck out 17 California Angels, has given up a mammoth two-run blast to Johnny Bench. 2-0, and here's Glenn Beckert with one out in the top of the second. Beckert, right-handed hitter, takes a fastball at the knees. Strike one.
Jim, that pitch by Blue was up and out over the plate. It looked like it might have been on the outside part of the plate to Bench. And I think when you get the ball up, that's a dangerous spot. If you're going to throw the high fastball, you'd like to have it in on the hitter a little bit. It's a lot tougher to handle.
Back with a breaking pitch, drilled to left field. Over goes Mercer in left center field near the warning track, 400 feet away, and hauls it in for the second out. Now, Bud Harrelson, no home runs on the year, 268, but in talking to Sparky Anderson, or for that matter, anybody in the National League, they will say this is Mr. Slickfielder, Bud Harrelson. But at that, he narrowly edged out Chicago's Don Kessinger, who was on the squad for the shortstop position. 2-0 the National League on Bench's home run. We're on the top of the second at Tiger Stadium, Detroit. Fastball, another strike. This time to Harrelson, who is seeing Vita Blue for the first time. Doc Ellis, warm-up jacket on, swinging a couple of bats on deck. The American League crowd at Tiger Stadium, a little quiet after that blast by Bench, fouled back on the fastball by Harrelson. And he's quickly down to Blue, 0-2. American League has lost eight in a row, 12 of the last 13, plus a 1-1 tie in 1961. They're trying to reverse that trend, but the National League has broken on top of that power. Another fastball fouled away. Vida Blue got Willie Mays, got Hank Aaron, Joe Torre in the first inning, but then it began to get to him. Willie Starcher was hit and Bench delivered with that mammoth blast into the second deck in right center field. Two strikes to Harrelson, who is a switch hitter, batting right-handed, and there's one of the few breaking pitches we've seen from Vida Blue. Low in the dirt. One ball, two strikes. Blue told Sandy before the game he might go exclusively fastball. He saw one of them blasted high and deep. Comes back with a fastball this time, hits the right field. Out there's Frank Robinson. Very short right field, but Robinson scarcely 300 feet away and has it for the third out. But two runs score on Johnny Bench's home run. The only hit, no errors, none left. We move to the last of the second. The National League, 2. The American League, nothing.
Excuse me, sir. Are you Gaylord Perry?
What do you think I'm doing out here on the mound?
What are you doing out here? There's a ball game going on.
Yeah, and your pitching is just great. Now, here, take this pack of Gillette Platinum Plus blades.
Oh, yeah, I use Platinum Plus. Real smooth shave.
Throw that ball, Perry.
Beauty. Now, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Gaylord Perry.
Hey, I got a ball game to pitch.
Come on, Gaylord. Have switched to Gillette Platinum Plus blades.
Have switched to Gillette Platinum Plus blades.
Because they shave me closer and with more comfort.
Right. They shave smoother. And smoothness is important in shaving. Just like in pitching. Excuse me. Now look what you made me do.
Gillette Platinum Plus. Double edge or injector. Both with platinum smooth edges for smoother shaves. I guess your curve just wasn't smooth enough.
Get off of my mound.
From Tiger Stadium in Detroit, this is Sandy Koufax with Jim Simpson at your 42nd annual All-Star Game. Blue made the one bad pitch and looked in that inning. He got the fastball up and out away from Bench, and Bench went with it. I don't know if he really went with it or he was throwing so hard he was swinging behind it, but he hit it very hard and gives the National League a two-run lead.
Well, here's Norm Cash, as you perhaps have judged by the applause of the crowd. As we said, Boo Powell was voted the first baseman by the fans. The players voted Norm Cash. And then when Powell couldn't play, Earl Weaver, manager of the American League All-Stars, did not immediately pick Cash. Only later, after someone else was injured, did he pick Norm, who fouls off the first pitch from Doc Ellis, strike one. 2-0, the National League has one hit, but it's a two-run blast by Johnny Bench. The American League has one hit, a single up the middle by Bobby Mercer. Cash, a left-handed hitter, 20 home runs, tied with Bill Melton for the American League lead. Slow changeup at the knees. A delayed call by Frank Umott, and the Tiger fans didn't like it. It's two strikes to their favorite, Norm Cash. Cash hitting at 293 on the year, 49 RBIs. Ellis ready, back with the fastball, and strikes out Cash on a low one.
Yeah, I think in defense of Earl Weaver in that situation of not picking Cash immediately, Weaver said that he had three or four different players who could play first base. He didn't feel like he needed a second first baseman, but Norm's having such a good year, I guess everybody felt it was a bad slight to him.
Brooks Robinson hitting at 294, 10 home runs, 54 RBIs, and need I remind you about last year's World Series, steps in, hits the first pitch, under Troy's glove, Harrelson in the hole, makes a long throw and gets Robinson. Beautiful play by Harrelson, and there's that slick fielding that the National Leaguers are talking about.
Jim, Brooks Robinson doesn't have great speed to start with, but Harrelson made a very fine play on it. It's awfully difficult to go into the hole and come up throwing, but he did. He got up with a strong and a very accurate throw, which enabled Willie McCovey to give it the big stretch, and Willie, being about 6'5", can do that, and they got Brooks on a fine play.
Bill Freehan, the Detroit catcher, in the lineup. Because of the fact, as we said, Ray Fosse of Cleveland is not injured. Two out. Last of the second, 2-0. The National League fastball from Ellis. He is outside. Freehand, this is his seventh consecutive game, his sixth consecutive start, but starting only because Fosse is not here. From left to right in the outfield, Stargell in left, Mays in center, Aaron in right. Around the infield, McCovey, Beckett, Harrelson, and Torrey bench behind the plate, and Doc Ellis ready to throw on a 1-0 count with two out to Bill Freehand, and gets a strike call. Hardly a cloud in the sky, and as of yesterday, when we arrived in Detroit, there was word that we were going to have thunderstorms. They changed their mind today. Freehand holds one deep and left. Stargell goes back and is at the wall and hauls it in for the third out. 370 feet away for the American League. No runs, hits, or errors, none left. We've now gone two full innings. The National League 2, the American League nothing. The Retail Clerks International Association has in its ranks many thousands of teenage store workers who, through their union, enjoy good working conditions. They know that to attain sound objectives, both for themselves and the country, they need clear heads and healthy bodies. The Retail Clerks Union urges the youth of America to avoid harmful drug habits and to register to vote so that they can make vital contributions to next year's election. This message from the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20006. Vida Blue, back for his third and final time on the mound, warms up now with Don Buford of Baltimore. You know, the people who make Blistex, the largest selling lip ointment, also make an excellent medicated lip balm. It's Blistex, and for chaps,
dried-out lips, there's really nothing like it. That's because Bliss Tick has a sunscreen, three ingredients to protect against infection, and two that make lips soft and smooth. Sooner or later, we all get chapped lips. So to get your family the balm that heals and protects them, Bliss Tick, the medicated balm for all the lips in your family.
Jim, we've got a change for the National League right now. The manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Danny Murtaugh, is coaching at first base. I don't know if Danny's going to coach very long. There's been some worry about his health, so he may just be out there for one inning just to make his appearance at the All-Star game. And it looks like in the National League bullpen, we've got a little action starting, and it looks like the fine right-hander from the San Francisco Giants, Juan Marichal.
What an adjective to use in discussing Juan, Danny. Fine. What a fine right-hander he is with all different kinds of pitches. You can talk about that when he comes out, but in the meantime, the National League starter, Doc Ellis, standing in to face Vida Blue, who starts him with a high fastball outside at ball one. On deck is Willie Mays. As you know, in All-Star games, those who are voted to start must play at least three innings. The pitchers cannot go longer than three innings unless we go to extra innings. Fastball, and it was by Doc before he began to swing the bat. Ellis's lone mistake. Well, he made a mistake in hitting Willie Stark to lead off the second with a curveball on the first pitch. But a high fastball out over the plate that Johnny Bench drilled for a long home run. Breaking pitch outside. Two balls, one strike to Ellis. Of course, this is the last for Vida Blue, and Jim Palmer of Baltimore is warming up. Ellis tries to bunt his way on and fouls it off, 2-2. So on the fourth inning, Jim Palmer of Baltimore will be pitching for the American League, and Juan Marichal of the San Francisco Giants for the National League. There's a change right there in what Sparky Anderson felt he was going to do. He was going to come back with Carlton to replace Ellis, but there's Marichal warming up. Blue throws the fastball and strikes out Ellis swinging.
So I think possibly Sparky looked down at his roster of pitchers and realized that Carlton's his only left-hander. He might want to save Steve for a situation late in the ballgame. In this ballpark, as we said, good for the left-hand hitters. When you've only got one left-hand pitcher, it's a little tough to use him up this early in the ballgame.
Willie Mays, who grounded to Aparicio at shortstop, steps in for a second time at bat. By the open stance, deep in the box, right-handed hitter wearing the familiar number 24. Came up in 1951 with the Giants, and there's a change-up breaking pitch. Hits it right center field. Mercer runs over, and now it is taken almost in front of him by Frank Robinson. That ball, I believe, Sandy, by the wind, kept trailing away from Mercer and toward Frank Robinson.
I think Mercer really got fooled by the wind. It looked like he thought he had the ball and was not going to have to go any further. Two or three times, he almost let it get away from him just by trailing it. But it looks like it's blowing so hard across that this could happen, and pop flies could be trouble tonight. But it did come right to Frank Robinson, which made it a little easier.
Hank Aaron, who grounded to Brooks Robinson at third base, stands in. Right-handed batter takes the ball outside. Started to say Earl Weaver's plans are Jim Palmer for the fourth and fifth innings, and then perhaps Mike Cuellar for six and seven, another Baltimore pitcher, and then Mickey Lolich of the Tigers in the eighth and ninth inning. Blue ready, strike. 1-1 to Aaron. Whereas Sparky had said that he would go with Carlton, and as Sandy explained, he's the only left-hander he's got, but also gave us no plans beyond that. 2-0, National League, top of the third inning. Ryder Blue. Two outs in the third, perhaps pitching to his last batter. He hopes it is in this All-Star game. Frank Umont, the plate umpire, calls time. A piece of yellow paper has gotten into the hitter's circle. And now another piece of paper is coming down from first base, but they let that one get by. And boy, there's a blazing fastball that Aaron really got around on, but Vida Blue got it past it. Strike two. One ball, two strikes. Blue has a very slow, easy, deceiving motion. But when he lets that ball go, it is something else again. A rising fastball. Another one hit high and deep. Frank Robinson goes back 370 feet away, looks up, it's in the upper deck, and it's 3-0. And Hank Aaron, who has had no extra base hits until right now in his All-Star career, hits the home run to make it 3-0. The National League and Vida Blue has been touched up for three runs, two of them homers.
Steve, again, that looked like the high outside fastball, but I didn't think Hank hit that one that hard. I think that 30-mile-an-hour wind had a lot to do with that one. He hit it very high, and I think the wind carried it a good portion of the way into those seats.
Joe Torre steps in, and as it turned out, Aaron was not the last batter that Vida Blue had to face in this 42nd All-Star game. Vida Blue being roughed up, fastball, and it's driven right by Torre, who was swinging strike one. Frank Dumont behind the plate. Fryer, the National League at first. O'Donnell, the American League at second. Harvey, the National League at third. Colosi, the National League in right field, or rather left field. And Denkinger, the American League in right field. One strike. And there's a good-looking breaking pitch. Strike. Freehand dug it out of the dirt, but it was across the knees of Torre, who stepped out and looked back at Dumont. Cash at first, Drew at second, Aparicio at short, Brooks Robinson at third, Yastrzemski in left, Mercer in center, Frank Robinson in right. Freehand the catcher, and Vida Blue working with a two-strike count towards the breaking pitch this time, too low. Juan Marichal continues to warm up down the right field line as Jim Palmer of Baltimore does down the left. And this American League crowd at Tiger Stadium looking on at the tower of the National League. Another breaking pitch, and he strikes out Torre. But one run on the home run by Hank Aaron. One hit, no errors, none left. We go to the last of the third. Vida Blue is all through, but it's 3-0, the National League. At the All-Star game, you can be sure you're watching the best performers in baseball, each excelling at what he does best. Of course, in baseball and other sports, a few truly great all-around performers stand out. Guys who do everything well. Well, the same thing holds true for gasoline performance. It's great all-around performance that you really look for. And some gasolines talk about quick starts. Some talk about good mileage. Some promise you cleansing action. But at Phillips 66, we've got all-around performance gasolines that give you everything you need for the road. We call them three-for-the-money performance gasolines because they give you quick starts, good mileage, and cleansing action. Whether you're talking baseball or gasoline, truly great performance means the same thing, the ability to do everything well. Drive into your nearest Phillips 66 station and ask for the three-for-the-money gasoline. You'll see what we mean when we say, at Phillips 66, it's performance that counts. The final inning for Doc Ellis. He will face Luis Aparicio. A pinch hitter, it looks to be Reggie Jackson, the home run hitter from the Oakland A's. And then again, Rod Carew. 3-0. National Leaguers with McCovey at first, Beckett at second, Harrelson at short, Torre at third. Stargell in left, Mays in center, Aaron in right, and Johnny Bench catching Doc Ellis, who could be the winning pitcher. But if you talk to people before this ball game, most were predicting something like a 12-11 finish. A lot of home runs will soar out of here with 30-mile-an-hour winds. Fastball to Yastrzemski, whose shirt is really, or rather to Aparicio, whose shirt is really being ripped by the gusting wind. As Reggie Jackson waits on deck. Dallas ready again. Sidearm this time. Strike called. It's one ball, one strike to Aparicio. Aparicio in quite a hitting tear. Hitting over 400 in his last 14 games, but that only brings him up to 206 for the season. Fouls this one out of play. One ball, two strikes. This is Louis' 10th All-Star game, his 8th. This is his 26th time at bat, and he only has one All-Star base hit. Ellis ready. Throws a fastball, but he's got number two. Base hit up the middle, fielded by Mays on one knee in short center field. And that'll bring up Reggie Jackson, who can make this ball game close in quite a hurry. Reggie hitting at 272, 17 home runs, 41 RBIs, and I'm sure you'll recall a couple of years ago when Jackson, Howard, and Killebrew in the American League were all in that home run race. Won ultimately by Killebrew, with Howard second, and Jackson third.
And this is the situation of the ball game where it tests the pitcher's ability to try and make the hitter hit the ball on the ground.
Jackson, left-handed batter, takes a strike at the knees from Doc Ellis. Ellis, the National League's leading winner, 14 victories. Vida Blue, who had 17, Before this All-Star break, an all-time high in Major League history, touched up for two home runs, one of them wind-blown, one of them simply poleaxed, and a three-run lead. Back, high and inside, foul out of play by Reggie Jackson. It's two strikes. The left-handed hitting outfielder. One of the many products of Arizona State. In the last of the third, it's 3-0, the National League. With Luis Aparicio perched at first base. None out, Carew on deck. And Ellis, the right-hander, looking in, gray uniform, gold cap, throws, and it's fouled out of play again. Johnny Bench, the catcher, quite concerned about his left wrist. It was sore, but they x-rayed it. Not a fracture, not a break. And Bench is behind the plate. And as the first home run of the ball game, it came with a man on. Which should make his left wrist feel a lot better. Ellis has a two-strike count on Jackson. Aparicio leads off at first. Here's the pitch, and it's outside. One ball, two strikes to Jackson.
Ellis is doing a fine job. He seems to be fighting his control just a little bit. The last three pitches have been up, and in this situation with a runner on, a home run hitter, the wind blowing out, you know Ellis would like to get the breaking ball down. He's got it up a little bit.
Long drive, deep right field, it's 3-2. Nobody even turns to look. Home run. Jackson just now around third base. And Sandy, I recall again what you were saying about Doc Ellis struggling and the ball was getting up.
But Jim, right there, it looked like Doc got the breaking ball up just a little bit to Reggie Jackson. And I mean, he hit it hard. I don't know when I've seen a ball hit any harder or as hard as that one. That would have gone out at the airport.
It may be at the airport. Who knows? Listen to this crowd hub. It is now 3-2. The American League has fought back. Here's Rod Carew, who bounced to Beckett at second base to lead off the first inning. Takes a strike on a fastball by Doc Ellis. And in this, a hitter's ballpark, Tiger Stadium, Detroit. And with the wind gusting more than 30 miles an hour toward right field, we have seen three home runs, all to right center or right field. Back up high with the pitch. It's one ball, one strike to Carew, who has one home run this year.
I think probably the control trouble is due to too much rest, I'm sure. Doc Ellis, normally going along all year with 3 days rest or 4 days rest, has now had six, and that's what it affects.
Outside, 2-1 to Carew. Bobby Mercer, another left-handed swinger on deck. None are out. Luis Aparicio led off with a single up the middle. Only his first hit in many years in All-Star play, his second in his career, and with a one-ball, two-strike count, Jackson drilled one upstairs. Outside and high again, and Johnny Bench stands up and throws it back to Ellis. Ellis stares in at Dumont, thought he might have had the pitch. Three and one, and this time is the first time that we've gone this high to anybody. And that's the first walk, ball four. Ellis hasn't gotten anybody out here in the third inning. Reggie Jackson has just hit the ninth pinch-hit home run in an All-Star game. And the last one was 9 years ago by Pete Runnels, formerly of Boston and Washington, who may be listening in his home down in Pasadena, Texas, outside of Houston right now. Bobby Mercer with a single, but with 16 home runs on the year, steps in. Left-handed batter against Doc Ellis. Marichal continues to warm up in the National League bullpen. Palmer taking it easy in the American League bullpen, staring in, throwing now and then. Ellis ready. Throws high with the fastball. It's ball one. And as Sandy pointed out, those pitches are up high. And to the power hitters such as Mercer and Yastrzemski and Robinson and Cash to follow, that can be trouble. National League 3, American League 2. We're just in the last of the third, and we've already had three home runs. Ellis back with a changeup, which is low and in the dirt. Mercer tells Carew down at first base, don't advance. The Cubby of the Giants holding on there, and Johnny Bench drops out to talk to Doc Ellis.
I'm sure that Bench is going out there now, talk to Doc and tell him, pick me up. Look at my target, because John's been trying to tell him that from behind the plate this whole inning, but when you're having troubles out there on the mound, it's not always that easy to throw the ball where you want to or or to do with it as you would like. Sometimes that plate looks like it's moving around. You'd like the catcher to put a foot out and step on it and keep it in one place.
Giroux had a 3-1 count before he walked, and now it's quickly 2-0 to Bobby Mercer. Let's see if he's swinging on 2-0. He is. Hops it up. The infield groans, and who's going to get it? Troy or Kessinger? Troy all the way over near first base, all the way from third base. And there's that wind again. It kept blowing it away from Joe Torre and Don, or rather Harrelson, and Torre made the catch.
Looked like Joe started after that one, and I don't think there's anybody in the infield bigger than he is, so he kept going. It almost got over to McCovey at first.
Carl Yastrzemski. Whom American League fans know could put the American League ahead with one swing of that big bat that already has accounted for 11 home runs this year. Left-hander deep in the box. Giroux on at first with one out now. Fastball hits it to the opposite field, left field. In comes Stargell. Out goes Bud Helson. Now has to trail it in the wind and has it to shortstop out in short left field. Yastrzemski swinging on the first pitch, and that helps tell us a little bit. But here comes Frank Robinson.
Jim, and the wind has really picked up now. It seems like it's almost blowing at gale force. It's blowing in so hard from left field. That ball started out to left. It looked like Stargell was going to catch the ball. Harrelson went back on it, and then Harrelson had to come running in just to catch the ball.
Frank Umont has called out Earl Weaver and has now called out a ball boy from Detroit. And I don't know whether Frank has simply run out of baseballs or is running out or what. But he called out Weaver, and then a Detroit ball boy came out, and Umont told him something, and the boy is scooted back into the American League, which is the Detroit Tigers dugout. Ralph Carew's at first. After that walk, which followed Aparicio's single and Jackson's home run, but since Mercer and Yastrzemski had popped out against Doc Ellis, Robinson stands in and takes a big cut at a high fastball, strike one.
Jim, I have a feeling that that might have been the ball that Reggie Jackson hit out that the umpire gave to that young man to give to Reggie. The ball hit a transformer on the light tower and bounced back on the field. I didn't follow its progress back, but it looked like Umont was giving the bat boy a ball.
Fastball is inside. One ball, one strike to Frank Robinson. Robinson is now 0-14 since 1961 in All-Star play. That goes back 5 years into his National League career. One ball, one strike. There goes the runner. Robinson swinging and fouls it away. Carew was off and running. One ball, two strikes. 3-2. The National League. We're in the last of the third. As Carew retreats to first base. Quite a record Rod Carew has. 5 years in the American League. 5 years, an All-Star starter. And when he was piling up all those votes this year, he was around the 200 mark. Entered the game at 283. He has really been on a tear recently. Ellis pitching his last inning. Ready, fires, and there's a drive deep right field. Back goes Hank Aaron. Looks up at 10. 4-3 in the American League. Since 1961. Two-run home run. The second two-run home run of this, the third inning. And it's 4-3. The American League. And Sandy, we can point back. It was no astute observation. Just an observation when we said the wind is blowing and it's going to be a factor in this hitter's ballpark. And it has certainly been that. Here is Norm Cash, who struck out on three pitches, fishing for a low breaking pitch back in the second inning. Another left-hander with great power. Ellis ready and throws. Umont behind the plate says it is a ball. Johnny Bench is pointing into the dugout. Now he is looking down to the third base umpire. Bench is discussing it, saying that it should have been a strike. At third base, Doug Harvey, the National League. There's nothing. This one is a strike call. The most home runs in an All-Star game took place here just 20 years ago. Six at Detroit, and again 3 years later at Cleveland. Now, we've had four already, and we're not through the third inning. Ellis ready, back with a changeup that is low and inside. Two balls, one strike to Norm Cash. Trailing 3-0 on home runs by Johnny Benchanera. The American League started the third on a single by Aparicio, a two-run homer by Reggie Jackson, a mammoth blast upstairs. Carew walked, and after Mercer Nisemski popped out, Robinson hit his home run. There is strike two at Arm Cash. Two balls, two strikes. Tiger fans really want their favorite, Norm, who has tied with Bill Melton of Chicago with the most home runs in the American League 20, to unload here. Change up, and he beats it foul down the first base line.
Sure, I know a lot of people might wonder why a manager wouldn't take a pitcher out in a situation like this. Ellis having a little bit of trouble, not now, the fact that there's nobody on, but usually in an all-star game, the managers will let the pitcher finish the inning. It's rare to see a pitcher come out during the inning. I don't remember seeing it happen very often. I think the managers believe if they're good enough to be picked for the all-star team, they're good enough to get out of trouble.
There's a call, strike three on a breaking pitch to Norm Cash, who struck out for the second time. But four runs score on three base hits, two of those home runs. No errors and nobody left. At the end of three, the American League 4, the National League 3.
Marianne, this is my dad.
Nice to meet you, mister.
Call me Cal.
My, what big teeth you have.
All the best of food.
And your hair. It's quite different.
I keep telling him the wethead's dead, but he won't try Gillette Dry Look.
Oh, you should. I love guy's hair with Gillette Dry Look.
You do?
It stays neat, but so soft and casual. Really, a little dry looking. I bet you'll have girls dying for days.
Dying? Young lady, I like the way you think.
The many thousands of teenagers who are members of the Retail Clerks International Association know that their overall well-being is enhanced by the good working conditions achieved by their union. They know, too, that to attain sound objectives for themselves and their country, they must work with clear heads and healthy bodies. The Retail Clerks Union urges the youths of America to avoid harmful drugs and to register to vote in next year's election. This message from the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 2006. We pause 30 seconds for station identification.
It's a gigantic store-wide summer clearance at Spectre's of Albany. Spectre's, Metroland's fashion leader for men and boys, has flash prices on all summer clothing, summer suits, and sportswear. Spectre's has a tremendous selection, one city block deep, filled with the famous brands you know and trust. Remember, Spectre's can fit any man, any size, any budget. Get big savings now during the great summer clearance at Spectre's, 233 Central Avenue, Albany. Open every night till 9, Saturday till 6, WGY, Schenectady, New York.
Hello again from Tiger Stadium in Detroit. Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax, 4-3 in the American League leads. As we go to the top of the fourth inning, a new pitcher for the American League, Jim Palmer, right-hander, and his first pitch is a called strike to Willie Stargell, who started the two-run uprising by the National League in the second by being hit on the first pitch from Vida Blue, a curveball. Palmer started last year's All-Star game and pitched three scoreless innings. Ready again, throws another fastball, swing and a miss by the left-handed Stargell. Palmer, a right-hander, this year has had 10 complete ball games. He's won 11 and lost 4, and has run out an earned run average of 5.258. Tall right-hander, had a history of all that arm trouble after his great 1966 season. Has come back strong the last couple of years. Another fastball, this is high and outside, to Willie Stargell with 30 home runs and 87 RBIs this year.
We've talked a lot about some of the other pitchers who could throw hard, but here's another one. Jim Palmer's got a great fastball.
Foul tip. Freehand is going back saying it wasn't, throwing down to first base. Stargell is walking away. He did not foul tip it. He is walking away in disbelief. Freehand knew it. I called it a foul tip because Stargell made no move, but Freehand retreated to the screen and threw to his teammate Norm Cash at first base, and Stargell has struck out.
Sure, I'm not sure, but I thought Frank Eumont gave the foul tip sign on that. I'm probably wrong. I'm sure he didn't. But it looked like Stargell was confused on it. If he didn't foul tip it, then I'm sure he would have run to first, but I would have to think that probably was a foul tip.
In any event, he is down, and here's McCovey, who was called out looking at a fastball in the second inning. McCovey takes outside ball one. 4-3, the American League. And all of the scoring has come on home runs, two by each side. Palmer ready again, but as he throws, McCovey is out of the box, and Umont had walked over to the other side of the plate. McCovey had actually dropped the bat. For the National League, 3 runs, 2 hits, no errors. For the American, 4 runs on 4 hits and no errors. Fastball, big cut by McCovey, and he missed it. It's 1-1. More than 52,000 looking on here in Tiger Stadium, Detroit. And more than 700 radio stations throughout the world listening to us, and we welcome you. There's another big cut by McCovey. Foul tips it. Freehand holds on to it. 1-2. Palmer throwing hard, Sandy.
Throwing very hard, and Willie McCovey has not been playing regularly lately, and looks like it's showing a little bit on him. Palmer is throwing very hard, but Willie also looks like he's just a little late with his swing.
Another fastball. This is inside. McCovey races up the arms and backs away from the inside pitch. This is Willie's 6th All-Star game, his 4th start. He had 2 home runs a couple of years ago, and not too many men have done that. This changeup goes in the dirt by the plate and bounces back to the screen. Archie Vaughn in 1941, Ted Williams, and Al Rosen in 54. And the gentleman at the plate right now, Willie McCovey. Ground ball, too hot, short hop by Carew, waits for Cash to get to first base and throws out McCovey.
That ball was hit fairly hard by McCovey, but playing him to full as much as they were was not quite a shift. They had Aparicio guarding the middle, but Carew way over into the hole. In a normal infield alignment, that might have had a chance to go through, but playing McCovey to pull that much, it was right to Carew.
Johnny Bench, and there's a little ooh and ah from the crowd, remembering that mammoth home run that he hit. We thought that was one of the longest that we have seen in some time, but I want to tell you, the one hit by Reggie Jackson went even farther. And he gets a breaking pitch to start him off and takes a big swing, strike one.
I think those big, strong hitters, when they see the high breaking ball like that, they have a good swing. They don't usually hit it with that great big swing, but they get a good cut at it.
Back with a fastball. Last is Brooks Robinson at third base, gobbling it up, going on to first. He got it. The vacuum cleaner does it again. The runs, hits, and errors on a great play by Brooks Robinson. We go to the last of the fourth. The American League 4, the National League 3.
When I say made in Detroit, what do you think of?
Automobile.
What car companies can you think of?
GM, Chrysler, Ford.
When I say engineering, which of those companies do you think of?
GM.
Do you know what company came up with the first fluid drive?
I'm not sure. I'm tempted to say Chrysler.
Right. Do you know what company first offered power steering?
Chrysler?
Uh-huh. Now, do you know the first company to use torsion bar suspension in all its cars?
Also Chrysler. I'm picking up a pattern here.
What I'm trying to prove, what you're proving for me, is, of course, that when I say engineering now, which one of those car companies do you think of?
Now I would say Chrysler.
Which is actually true, which is what most people just say. Unibody, unibody
construction. When I think of Chrysler, it's the engineering that I think of.
When you mention Chrysler, people think of extra care and engineering, extra value, extra worth. The 1971 cars of the Chrysler Corporation, Dodge, Plymouth, and Chrysler.
Sandy Koufax with Jim Simpson from Tiger Stadium in Detroit. The end of 3.5 innings for the National League. 3 runs, 2 hits, and no errors. The American League, 4 runs, 4 hits, and no errors. And wouldn't it always seem to happen, the fellow who makes a good play is the first hitter. We'll start the inning with Brooks Robinson and Johnny Bench talking to him a little bit. You think John would have learned something last year in the World Series not to hit it to Brooks.
I'll tell you, those Reds went away in disbelief, so I guess for John, he's just saying, do you do that all the time? Juan Marichal is 1-10 and lost 5, becomes the second National League pitcher. Out of right field now, Roberto Clemente replaces Hank Aaron, Clemente from the Pirates. In center field, Willie Mays is out, and Willie Davis of the Dodgers is in at center. Willie McCovey's gone from first base, and Lee May of Cincinnati is at first base. So it is May, Beckett, Harrelson, and Torrey in the infield, Stargell, Davis, Clemente in the outfield, bench behind the plate, and Marichal, the pitcher, starting off with Brooks Robinson, who grounded to Harrelson. Back in the second inning. Marischal ready and throws outside and low, ball one. And speaking of good plays, on Robinson's bouncer, it went under the glove of Choi back in the second inning, and Harrelson went into the hole and threw while on the run to get it. Marischal in his eighth All-Star game. Ball is popped high and foul. Bench comes over after it. May does, but it'll make the seats off to the right. 16 innings. Juan has allowed 7 hits, 2 runs, only 1 earned run. His earned run average in All-Star play, 0.56. He's 1-2 and lost none.
Kevin, with Willie Mays out of there, I think it may be finally a concession to age. From my memory, Willie has always wanted to go the full All-Star game and has played as many as I can remember all of the games.
Low pitch to Brooks. It's 2-1. Marischal, Danny can talk to you about him as we progress, but he throws from all angles and all different kinds of pitches. Ready with a 2-1 count to Brooks Robinson. Leadoff batter in the fourth. Sidearm, and it's a high and outside pitch this time, and it's 3-1.
I think the incredible thing about Marischal is his control. He's always had good stuff, never overpowering, but good fastball, good curveball, good screwball. But he's always managed to have great command.
Center field, Willie Davis going back near the warning track about 380 feet away and takes the drive of Brooks Robinson for the first out in the last of the fourth.
Kevin, as easy as it is to hit the ball out in right field, that's just how difficult it is to hit it out in left field. If the ball is hit to the left of center field, well, there's just very little chance of driving it through that wind.
Well, here's another case in point, Sandy. Bill Freehan, who in the second inning backed Willie Stargell to the wall in left, where it was caught. Hit hard enough to get out of here. One out, last of the fourth, 4-3. The American League leading the National League, trying to break that 8-game losing streak to the senior circuit. Marischal throws a big lollipop curve that drops over, and that's about the umpty-ump different delivery style we've seen already, and this is just the second batter.
Also in Marischal's delivery, he kicks his leg very high, which has to add a little bit to the deception.
Now comes back with a fastball off the same motion practically, and it's fouled at the plate, and it's 2 strikes to Freehan. Started him off with a big curveball that was almost like the famous blooper ball of years gone by, and then came back with a fastball at the knees. That was fouled into the dirt by Freehan. Marischal ready now, comes back with a fastball that's blown away. 1-2. Lights are on. Tigers stayed in Detroit where rain had been forecast, and then they changed their mind. No rain expected. 86 degrees at game time, maybe in the high 50s before it's all over. Marischal back with another curve, misses, and it's 2-2. He has got to be battling. Well, Jim Palmer is to go 2 innings. He has already gone 1, and warming up is Mike Cuellar of Baltimore. So Earl Weaver's going right along with the plans that he said he would. 2-2, sidearm this time, and just as missed, Marischal thought he had it, Bench thought he had it. Frank Umont said no. 3-2 to Freehead. Sidearm fastball, and if it missed outside, it only missed by that much. Another fastball, hit high in the air. May in at first base, over, looking at the wall. Wind is blowing, and he captures it finally near the dugout of the National League. 2 outs.
This is also the time of evening where it's very difficult to see some of those pop flies. The sky is not quite dark, and it's not really light enough so that the ball would appear black, or dark enough so that the ball would appear white in the lights. And many a pop fly or fly ball has been lost in this kind of condition. When the sky finally does get darker, it's much easier to see it.
Well, here's Luis Aparicio. A lot of ball players figure that there are other shortstops, like Leo Cardenas is on the squad, that should have been voted to the starting role, but Aparicio got the fans' vote. Here he is as he takes a strike from Marischal, and he started after being hitless in some time. The third inning, 4-run rally by leading it off with a single. Up for the second time. Strike one. Marischal right back with a fastball. That's strike two call. National League got 2 runs off Bench's homer in the second. Aaron hit one out in the third. And then Reggie Jackson and Frank Robinson combined for 2-run homers in the third for the American League. Sidearm pitch, almost underarm, misses, and it's 1-2. Marischal comes over the top, and then all degrees of angles down to almost underarm. Right arm this time, it's in the dirt. Two balls, two strikes. Aparicio with two out in the last of the fourth.
In addition to all the other pitches that he throws, Marichal has probably one of the better sliders, I think, in baseball. A lot of pitchers throw the slider. Very few of them can make it go down. Most of them, it breaks flat. His breaks down a little bit, which is awfully tough to hit.
There's another sidearm fastball that, again, Marichal thought he had and Bench thought he had, but Frank Umont, the plate umpire, said no, as in the case of Freehand. And again, we go to 3-2, this time on Aparicio. Willie Davis playing a very short center field. Out near one of the white stars. We have red, white, and blue stars in the outfield. There's a ball hit off the glove of Marichal. Dashes over, picks it up, has plenty of time to throw on to Lee May. And Marichal has a 1-2-3 inning. The runs, hits, and errors. He's gone four full innings. The American League, four. The National League, three. The Retail Clerks International Association has in its ranks many thousands of teenage store workers who, through their union, enjoy good working conditions. They know that to attain sound objectives, both for themselves and their country, they need clear heads and healthy bodies. The Retail Clerks Union urges the youth of America to avoid harmful drug habits and to register to vote so that they can make vital contributions to next year's election. This message from the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20006.
Ever see a red lemon? I got one with four doors and eight cylinders.
You may think you're stuck driving a lemon when all you're really stuck with is a dirty carburetor, because that's all it may take to make your car's engine run rough or lose power. But the solution is here. New STP Double Power Gasoline Treatment. Double strength to help tune your engine as you drive. Power to clean with power to burn. Add a can next time you fill up to lemon-proof your car.
They ought to call it lemonade.
You'll really feel the difference.
Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax as we go to the fifth inning. Jim Palmer ready to start his second inning on the mound in relief of Vida Blue, who worked the first three innings, gave up all three runs on two homers, struck out two, and walked nobody. And now coming up, Len Becker of the Chicago Cubs, who lined at the Mercer in deep center field back in the second inning when Vida Blue first ran into trouble. Preston Gomez, the coach, at third. It'll be Beckert, Harrelson, and Willie Davis. Davis batting in the number nine spot. Jim Palmer ready to throw to Beckert, who fouls it off upstairs to the right. Strike one. Palmer stares in to Freehand as catcher. Throws another fastball right under the glove of Palmer, picked up by the second baseman Carew, throws on in the dirt, but it's scooped up by Cash. Fine play. Beckert retired for the first out of the fifth.
Sure, I think on that play, you're going to have to give Jim Palmer an assist. He didn't touch it very much, but he got enough of it to slow the ball down and give Carew a chance to make a fine play behind second base on Beckert.
Here comes Bud Harrelson, the switch hitter, and we're now seeing Bud up. Batting left-handed against the right-handed, Jim Palmer. Against Vida Blue, he flied to right field.
Carlson likes to bunt when he's batting left-handed. He's a good bunter from both sides, but with that advantage of the extra step toward the plate, toward first, I mean.
Well, high fastball there, Sandy. Looked as though he might have bunted, and Brooks Robinson reacted very quickly, in on the grass, at third base. Now Umont is waving somebody away. The players of the National League are sitting on the top step with their legs on the playing surface. And now Sparky Anderson is going to come out and say, how come? And now Sparky understands from Umont what he means. They can't have their legs on the field. Cases a high pop foul hit over in that area and nods his assent. Goes back and actually says something to his players to stay, I would imagine, inside that dugout.
Well, some of the players gave Frank Umont just a little bit of heat as he started over.
Fastball misses. It's two balls, no strikes. The Bud Harrelson. One out in the fifth inning. An explosive ball game with four home runs. There's the ball fouled out of play to the left by Harrelson. It's 2-1.
Being able to bunt the way Harrelson does not only helps you to get a base hit occasionally, but it forces the third baseman, a fellow like Brooks, to play in just a little bit shallower, and the first baseman. And because of this, if Harrison hits the ball on the ground, maybe the ball has a better chance of getting through the infield.
Another foul down the left field line. Past the bullpen, but Mike Cuellar continues to warm up. Two balls and two strikes to Harrison. Well, we've seen those four home runs, and we've seen Brooks Robinson with a specialty, robbing a man of a base hit at third base. Dumont now out of the spot behind home plate, down on the grass along the third base line and staring down at the bullpen. Frank has been moving around quite a bit tonight. 2-2, one out, fifth inning, 4-3, American League. Palmer ready and throws the fastball. It is hit towards Aparicio, takes it a one hop, and despite Helson's great speed, he throws him out. Well, here is Willie Davis, batting in the number 9 spot. How many times have you seen, except in an all-star game, a 350 hitter hitting number 9?
Jim, I think this is Willie's first all-star game, and he deserves to be there. For many years, there are a lot of critics of Willie Davis in Los Angeles and a lot of other cities. Because the man has so much talent, they thought he should do more. The last few years, he's getting everything he can out of his talent. He's become a great hitter, and he has great speed.
Davis, 3 home runs, 45 RBIs, takes high and away, ball one. Left-handed batter, swings the bat constantly, waits now for a fastball, drills one to center field. Mercer comes in, takes it on the first hop, and Davis, at his all-star appearance, has the base hit. The first off Jim Palmer, the third of the game. And with two outs, here comes Roberto Clemente to bat. Four times a batting champion in the National League. Clemente hitting at 342, 8 home runs, and 48 RBIs. Coming up, twisting that head of his, as he often does, in play right field like few other people ever have in the history of this ballgame. And with a very speedy Davis, the tying run on at first base, there are two out, and here is Clemente.
Jim, we've also got some action now in the National League bullpen. It looks like Ferguson Jenkins is up and throwing, and he's getting ready in a hurry. And I just wonder what would happen if it was time to use a hitter here for Marichal.
Marichal, this is a check at first base, and Davis just does get back. Cash had the ball on him, but Woody had slipped back. Marichal bats in the number 5 spot. There's the ball fouled to the screen by Clemente, a fastball thrown by Jim Palmer. Lee May will bat in the second spot, where Aaron was. 4 runs, 4 hits, no errors for the American League. 3 runs, 3 hits, no errors for the National League. All runs have scored on home runs. Palmer working, of course, in the set position, throws to first again, and Davis dives back again. This time, it wasn't as close as the first time. Willie, a little bit more respect, perhaps, for the pickoff motion. Jim Palmer, there he goes, and the ball is fouled off. Davis loses his hat, great jump, but has to retreat to first base.
Here, when you run as fast as Willie does, there'll be a lot of times you're going to run out from under your hat. He creates a lot of wind under that. In fact, Willie's nickname with the Dodgers was Three Dogs. When he first came to the Dodgers, he was young, very thin, and had this great long stride, which he still does. It sort of reminded you of a good greyhound running, and he picked up the nickname Three Dog, and I think it stuck.
Two strikes to count Clemente, two outs. Davis not running, high pitch. Right inside. Throwing in the American League bullpen, Jenkins in the National League bullpen. Beautiful night in Detroit, Michigan, at Tiger Stadium. Little or no humidity. Biggest factor is the wind, which seems to have calmed a little bit now and blowing toward right field, but still blowing pretty good. But anyway, on the one ball, two strike, and is called out on strike, stepped into the pitch, did not swing, and is called out on strike. A run, one hit, no errors, and one left. We go to the last of the fifth. The American League leads the National League 4-3.
Hi, this is Joe Garagiola. When Owens, Illinois asked me to do some commercials for corrugated packaging, I asked him, well, what's so special about an ordinary box? And boy, did I get an earful about how corrugated boxes have to do special things like absorb shock, shed moisture, insulate, display, or whatever the product inside calls for. In fact, every box is something special at Owens, Illinois. with 20 plants producing the best in corrugated packaging coast to coast. Look them up in the yellow pages.
Menin Skin Bracer helps you wake up. Most men slap it on in the morning, right after they shave. But there have been emergencies.
And now comes the clash of the cymbals. No, the cymbalist's asleep again. He must have the skin bracer.
So?
Thanks. I needed that.
Sandy Koufax with Jim Simpson in Detroit at the 42nd annual All-Star Game. At the end of four and a half innings, the score remains the National League 3 runs, 3 hits, and no errors. The American League leading 4 runs, 4 hits, and no errors.
Juan Marichal in for his second inning in this 4-3 ball game, and Frank Howard steps in to bat for the pitcher Jim Palmer, who has worked his 2 innings and did it very effectively. Howard with 16 home runs this year, batting at 294, 43 RBIs, and of course, that tremendous power. In batting practice, Frank was beating most of the balls into the ground. But when he connected, they were long gone, deep left field, even against the wind. Marichal ready and throws, and it's strike.
I believe it's a long time since Frank has seen Juan Marichal, but Juan gave Frank a lot of trouble when Frank was with the Dodgers and Juan with the Giants.
One strike pitch, overhand curveball, and a swinging strike two. Palmer worked 2 innings, gave up 1 hit and struck out 2 and walked nobody and gave up